Another is that the enemies can see it happening, but they're helpless to do anything about it. And the purpose is not just to have a nice meal. The purpose is to have conversation, communication, and fellowship with one another and with Him. And that's why the psalmist rejoices when he goes on to say that Jesus wants us to have conversation and communication and fellowship with us so that our cup will overflow. In biblical days, having a meal together was also more than just having food. In biblical days, having a meal together meant that if you sit at the table with me, we are equals. There were no artificial divisions of society. Those were laid aside. There was no hierarchy. We were all invited to be equal around the table without distinctions. Now, quite literally, they did not sit at the table. Quite literally, they would recline at the table on pillows. And sometimes they would recline in such a way, you've probably seen pictures of this, they would recline in such a way that they could actually, if they wished, lay their head on the chest of the person who was near to them. A very intimate way of being together. And the person who was the host of the meal was responsible for more than the food. He was responsible for the protection of his guests. The enemies could not harm them. And that's why the psalmist says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." And there are lots of things I like about Jesus Christ, and I'm sure that you can share a lot of things that you like about Jesus Christ, but this is one of them you might not think about. Jesus Christ liked to eat and drink with his friends and with sinners. I like that because I'm a foodie. I like to eat. Ask Elizabeth. I plan our vacations around breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right? And I suspect that most of us in this room plan the celebrations of our birthdays and our anniversaries around food. I call you on your birthday. Are you going to celebrate? Almost everybody says the same thing. Either the family's having me over for dinner or somebody's taking me out to eat. And it might not be that day, but that's, you know, we gather around food. Jesus Christ liked to do that. And he reclined at the table for a more intimate relationship with sinners. He was criticized for that. He was condemned for that. Jesus went to parties. And he enjoyed good food and good wine and singing and dancing. And Jesus wanted his followers to have that kind of fun and fellowship and fulfillment around a table. And I believe that he also wanted to equate that in their minds with the joy of salvation. The joy of eternal life. Brothers and sisters, to be at the table with Jesus Christ is to have a time of great joy. It's not a formal dining experience. It's not a pious ritual. It is a time of celebration and joy so that your head can be anointed with oil and your cup overflows. I'm afraid too many of us miss the fact that there is joy in Christianity. There's joy in our salvation. Now, in biblical days, no meal was complete without bread. In fact, bread was the first course served at the meal. And if you think about it, almost any restaurant you go to today, bread is the first thing you are served. We don't do that in our homes much, do we? But when you're thinking about it, this is a long-standing tradition. A prayer was said over the bread, and that prayer covered the entire meal. They didn't use knives and forks, by the way. They ate with their hands. And sometimes they would use the pieces of bread to dip into a center bowl and take the food in the bread and then to eat it, to scooping the food out. So Jesus used some carefully chosen words in John chapter 6 when he said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus is not only the shepherd who prepares a table before you, who protects you from your enemies, but he's also the one who satisfies all of your hungers and who fulfills all of your thirst. He is the bread. His last act before going into the Garden of Gethsemane was to recline at a table with his disciples. A table of unity, a table of brotherhood, a table of fellowship, a table of remembrance, a table of love. Even Judas was invited to come to that meal. Jesus broke the bread. Jesus poured the wine. But the Apostle Paul talked about all that in a unique way. And this is a teaching that we might be guilty of overlooking. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It begins in verse 14. Paul said, "Therefore, dear friends, flee from idolatry." And what does that have to do with this subject? Let's read further. Paul said, "I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body. For we all partake of the one loaf." That's for us. That's for us. We are one body, all invited to a holy table of remembrance. But Paul continues, "Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar?" Paul was referring to the fact that when the animal was brought to be burned for the sacrifice, it was really cooked. And after all of the ritual was done, this cooked meat was shared with the people and the priest, and they ate it. It was a feast that followed. Continuing, Paul said, "Do I mean then that a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God, and I do not want you to participate with demons." Listen carefully to his next words. "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons." Let me read that again. "You cannot have a part of both the Lord's table and the table of demons." That passage in 1 Corinthians 10 began with that warning I read, "Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry." You may think, I don't need to hear that. I don't bow down to any idols. I don't have idols in my life. Think again. What is an idol? An idol is anything that you love, admire, or even worship other than the Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It doesn't have to be made of gold or bronze. It doesn't have to be made of stone or wood. It doesn't even have to be visible. So don't tell me there are no idols in your life, because our lives are filled with them. We may not be aware of how often we love something or admire something or even worship something other than God, but we all do it. And why did Paul mention demons in this passage? He said, the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God, and I do not want you to be participants with demons. The Greeks believed in demons. The demons that the Greeks believed in were spirits or gods, and some of them were considered good spirits, and some of them were considered bad spirits. And they believed that these spirits resided in everything, in every tree, in every stream, in every mountain, everything. And they worshipped these spirits. Now, the Jews also believed in the reality of demons, but there were no good ones, only bad ones. These were evil spirits, malignant devils who did the bidding of Satan himself. Jesus Christ acknowledged the reality of evil spirits. And that's not just for biblical days. That's for now. Demons are real. But that's not the main focus of this message. It's important to note, however, Paul was saying that the table of Jesus Christ is symbolic of what is good, but the table of demons is bad. That simple. Paul warned us that if our hands have touched the holy bread and the holy cup of the Lord Jesus Christ, then our hands should not touch the evil bread and cup of Satan. The table of the Lord Jesus Christ, to which you are invited today, is holy. He prepared it for you. Do not defile it. We can only come to this table by grace. That's the only way. Here's something else. Jesus also often liked to teach his disciples during mealtimes. Have you ever noticed that? And many of his parables were descriptions of banquets. We don't have time to dwell on all those stories, but we can't leave this topic without remembering this. I'm reading from Matthew 26. Jesus was teaching, reclining at table. Then Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Earlier in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus told them this: "Many will come from the east and the west and will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." And in the book of Revelation chapter 19, an angel said this to John: "Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." That is the wonderful truth that I don't want us to miss as we come to the Lord's table today. Jesus Christ invites you to a table that he is preparing for you right now, the ultimate feast, the wedding banquet of the Lamb. With more skill and more care and more love than any white-gloved servant at Downton Abbey or the White House, Jesus Christ prepares a table for you. Jesus Christ does that for one reason. He wants to have fellowship with you. He takes great joy in you. He doesn't just sit with you. He reclines with you to be as intimate as possible. He protects you from your enemies. He satisfies all of your hungers because he is the bread of life. He satisfies all of your thirsts because of the cup of the new covenant. He says that this table to which we come today is a holy table that he has prepared for you, so honor it. But he says, it's only a preview of what's to come, a wedding banquet. I'm preparing for you, my bride, a meal, a table where you will sit with Abraham, where you will sit with Isaac, where you will dine with Jacob, and you will be my guest of honor. Can you imagine? You, me, the guest of honor around such a table. He says, I love you. I love you. May your cup overflow with goodness that follows you all the days of your life, because you will dwell in my house forever at my table, the table of Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for reminding us of how much you love us just in preparing a table for us. And may we come to this table today through the grace of Jesus Christ, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through the invitation of Jesus Christ. And may we have fellowship with you, conversation with you, communication with you, communion with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.